The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be anxious for anything. That's kind of like the opposite of what we really feel sometimes, isn't it? Really? Sometimes we're just the opposite of what it says. It says, do not be anxious about anything. And many times we're just the opposite. We got a lot to be anxious for. Lots of things going on in life. Life doesn't happen like we planned it or like we want it to happen. So what we become anxious with the things and circumstances beyond our control. And then we don't do what the first part of that verse says, or the first part of verse 5 says. It says, always remember, if you don't remember anything else, always remember this, if you're a Christian. The Lord is near. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is near. Even when you don't feel like it. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. It's a mandate in Scripture. It's what we're to do. Now, the question is, how do you do that? How do you not be anxious when there's so many things in life you have reason to be anxious about? Good question, isn't it? I believe it's a good question. I mean, it's a real question. We live in a real world, don't we? Come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. Have you heard that? Not true. Not true. Jesus is not a fix-all. He is not a Santa Claus. He did not die and be humiliated on the cross so you and I can have a more convenient lifestyle. He died for a much more serious issue. And that's the salvation of sins through Him. Because you can have everything in life you want. You can have all the money you want. Your family life could be perfect. You could have no problems. Your health could be good. You could have the biggest house you live in. It's good. It's thorough furniture. Your garage has got two beautiful cars. You got everything going good for you. Why? And then you die and lose your soul. So that's not the answer. Both things are good. Accept the gifts that God gives us. Enjoy the blessings of God. But if you don't have those things, in the meantime, the Bible says don't be anxious about not having things. There is no greater source of spiritual stability than the confidence that the Lord is near. You know, there's some confidence in that. When you know that your best friend is near, you can call your best friend and they're around the corner if you need to go see them, right? Or if you're a family member that you love dearly, if they're near, you always have a confidence that they live in the same hometown that you can go see them and you can get in the car and go and talk to them face to face. There's some confidence about that. To go see your friend, family member, they're near. But there's no greater source of spiritual stability than the confidence that the Lord is near, no matter what your circumstances are. And that's what we need to get in order for us to have peace in our life. If we don't get this, if we're always going to be anxious, even though we say we know the Lord and we trust in Him for everything in our life, and we're still anxious about everything, it's going to be a long, long road. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be a long road. And the being near can mean in space or near time. It's either a reference to Christ's return or to the believer's death. You know, that's true. I mean, the Lord is near physically. If you die today, you're going to see God. You'll see God face to face. So He is near in that sense, because if you live to be 80, that's just a breath to God. That's just a breath. You ever boil water for getting ready for cooking? That little steam comes up off the water. God looks at our life like that. That's how long your life is to God. A whisper. So it's close. The Lord is near in that sense. Even if you live to be 80 years old, that's nothing to God in time. So the Lord is near. While those are comforting truths, you know, it seems that the Apostle Paul, he emphasizes here, is on the Lord's nearness in the sense of His presence. Aren't you glad? That if you're a child of the living God, you have accepted Christ as Savior, you've been born again, at any time, any day, anywhere, you can go directly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Directly. Through the blood of Christ gives you the right to go directly to God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Don't ever think God doesn't care about His children. He is near both to hear the cry of the believer's heart. Yes. Your tears that you shed fill a bottle that only God knows. He and He alone only knows every tear that you shed in your whole life. Isn't that comforting? Ever cried alone at night when things were just collapsing all around you? Nobody's around but you and God. He's seen those tears.
Yes.
He has seen those tears.
Yes.
He collects them in a bottle.
Yes.
If that's not encouraging, what can be encouraging today to you? Because
yes.
We're going to have some tears. There's going to be a lot of them. There's going to be a lot of heartache in life. Lots of them. Long list. We all have them. We all have our stories. My, my, my. But He is near both to hear the cry of the believer's heart and to help strengthen them. He is here to strengthen you.
Yeah.
And He wants to do it through His Word. The psalmist declared, "The nearness of God is my good. The nearness of God is my good." I'm thankful that God is near. Because of God's nearness, believers should not be fearful, anxious, or wavering. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be fearful.
Don't be
anxious. And don't be wavering. Here's a question. If we're told in Scripture not to be fearful and anxious and wavering, why is there so much of that going on in the body of Christ? If God is for us, who can be against us? But we don't live that way. We don't live that Scripture. We can quote it.
Oh, yeah.
Look how religious I am. I quote Scripture, but I live it out in my life. God is for me. Who can be against me? I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to wave like the wind and the waves of the sea. I don't have to waver like that in my life. I can learn to be spiritually stable. Do you know people that are unstable spiritually? They're on the mountaintop. Oh, hallelujah. They're waving their hands and crying out, hallelujah, swinging from the chandeliers. Oh, man, it's good entertainment. But then they go about their life and you see them living a defeated life. What happened to the hallelujah course, man? You were up here, now you're down here. That's spiritually unstable. That's spiritually unstable. What would you rather be? Stable or unstable?
Amen.
Have you ever walked on unstable ground?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you walk like this. You know, you get your feet caught in the mud. It's slanted. You get your heels caught in the rocks, whatever it is. It's not fun to walk on something that's not stable. But for us to have a successful, fruitful, abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have to learn to be spiritually stable. Or it's going to be a long, long road.
Yep.
Most people are not spiritually stable because They don't even read what God says about it in His Word. They're looking for a special revelation from somebody when it's right there in black and white and sometimes red. That's the Word of God. If you're living an unstable Christian life, ask yourself how much time you spend in the Word of God. Usually people that are unstable spiritually, they're not spending time in the Word. Let's all examine ourselves. They should not collapse, but be strong and stable. Joshua chapter 1. So you know what? That's what we are to do. And that's through our troubles, that's through our heartaches, that's through our trauma. When you truly can go through circumstances in life that are unbearable for you, and you can still open up your palms and praise the living God, that is the true praise of sacrifice. That's the key. If people praise God all the time, thank Him for who He is, what He does, but that's when they get in the blessing zone. The true sacrifice of praise is to praise Him for who He is, because He has saved you from the pits of hell and gave you eternal life in His kingdom to be like Him for eternity. You're going to be like Him in every way. And those tears that you shed at night that He only saw, you won't be shedding those tears anymore. And all those physical issues you've got that seem to not go away, you're not going to have those anymore either. All those family issues and problems you have, not going to have those in heaven either. In fact, when you get there, and if you get there, you've got a heavenly condo waiting on you.
Amen.
Bring on the heavenly condo. Is it furnished? I'm sure it is. That's the heavenly mansions talked about. I just put heavenly condos on it. I got real with it. But here's the thing, y'all. Unfortunately, when they face trials, believers often seem to forget what they know about God. Oh, here we are. Here we are. Oh, hallelujah, yeah, I'm spiritual, I'm stable, and all of a sudden circumstances come in my life, and all of a sudden now I start forgetting what I've learned about God. There we get our mind off of God, we put them on our circumstances, and friends, it's easy to do. That's not hard to do. That's why we need to be saturated in the Word every day. Or at least read the Word as much as you feed your stomach. Most of us don't have an issue with that. If you got food in your belly and you're satisfied physically and you call yourself a Christian and you hadn't been in the Word, something's not right. Because this flesh is going to go into the dirt and it's useless when you die. Your soul will last for eternity. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot corrupt them. It won't be long. And so some of us lose their confident trust in God. Have you ever been there? That's a tough one to answer, honestly. They lose their self-control and spiritual stability and they get defeated. They do. Even strong believers are not immune to an occasional lapse. As an incident from the life of David reveals, you know, David had some issues in his life, didn't he? And we're going to have that occasional lapse of what? Just not seeking God, not doing what God says do in His Word, drifting from God, keeping our eyes off of God, putting them on the world. We're going to have those occasional lapses. We're just human, aren't we? Well, I'm the only one?
No.
Thank you. We're going to have those occasional lapses. And let's call them for what they are. They're occasional lapses. Hopefully, they're occasional. And it's not a pattern of your life if you're calling yourself a Christian. It's not the spiritual instability is not a pattern. It's an occasional lapse that we go through, all of us do. Try going a few days without reading God's Word. What happens? You feel a little anemic, but it's spiritually anemia. Go 3 days without eating in your stomach. Fast for 3 days without eating anything. Your body is going to say, feed me, feed me, feed me more. You're more glad to do that than anything. Sure. But what about the spiritual part? When your spiritual person is saying, feed me, and what is it asking for? It's asking for the meat of God's word, or in some cases, the bottle. In seeking refuge from Saul's relentless pursuit, David sought asylum in the Philistine city of Gath. Some of the Philistines recognized him and said to Achish, the king of Gath, "It is not David, the king of the land? Do they not sing of this one as they dance, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He was a big guy. David just slain 10,000 men. He was a big, big person in that day. But realizing that his true identity had become known, David did this. He took matters in his own hands. He became spiritually unstable. Realizing that his true identity had become known, David greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. Instead of trusting God to deliver him, David panicked and disguised his sanity before the Philistines and acted insanely in their hands and scribbled on the doors of the gate and let his saliva run down his beard. What was David doing? He was trying to cop out, wasn't he? He was no threat to them if they saw that he was acting out his insanity. He was playing insane so he could get relief, so they would dismiss him, so he wouldn't be incarcerated. He wasn't doing right. His act produced the desired results. He got what he wanted. David ended up being dismissed. They released him. Hey, he's no threat to us. He's an insane man. He was pretending. But he got the desired results. Have you ever done that? Taking matters in your own hand and then you ended up getting your own desired results. But that wasn't the result that God wanted you to have. Oh, you can force it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You can force it. You and I can force the issue. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman? Why do you bring him to me? He's no threat to me. Why are you bringing this man? He's slobbering all over his beard. He's scribbling all over the door. No threat to us." Remember, David just killed 10,000 people. He was a king and a good leader. But he didn't want to be incarcerated, so he took matters in his own hands. He became, David did, a man of God. He became spiritually unstable. It happens to the best of us, doesn't it?
Amen.
Why do you bring him to me? Do I like madmen? Like I need a madman on my hands. That you have brought this one to act as a madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? Good questions. And as a result, David departed from there and escaped to the cave. He went off. He got the desired result. He took matters in his own hands. Have you ever done that? Have you ever taken matters in your own hands? Many times. What happens? You may get the desired result that you wanted, but usually you pay the penalty.
Okay.
Usually you pay a price for taking matters in your own hands. That's spiritual instability. If God is for you, why aren't you at the throne of grace giving God your problems? Does God know what's best for you, or do you know what's best for you? He does. And he's interested in your life. So as a result, David departed from there and escaped to the cave. There, with the crisis past, David had time to reflect on how he should have handled the situation in Gath. In Psalm 57, written at the time, he revealed the truth about God that he had temporarily forgotten. He had temporarily forgotten the truth of God.
Have you temporarily forgotten the truth of God in your life?
Have you? Y'all don't have to be honest today. Y'all don't, do you? Certainly not to me.
So answer the question to yourself.
Have you temporarily forgotten the truth of what you knew about God because you took your eyes off of God and you wanted to do like David, put matters in your own hands, do it your own way? Listen to what he says as we close. As we listen together. As we listen together. As we listen together. Be gracious to me. O God, be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings. I will take refuge until destruction passes by. You know, destruction is out there. Trauma is out there. Let's do this. Until all that passes by me in my life and where it is, I'm going to take refuge in God. I'm not going to pray that the storms will go away, because if I do that, they're just going to be right around the corner again. But I want to have peace that passes all understanding when the storm comes up. I want to be peaceful in my heart. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be fearful, and I don't want to be wavering. And the storms are out there, and if I focus on the storms of life, and there's plenty of them, I'm not going to have any rest. I want to take refuge in God. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. God accomplishes all things for you and of me. Let's trust Him as He asks us to trust Him. David was realizing that he had made a mistake by doing this madman thing. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will fight your battles. If somebody is tramping on you, if your enemy is tramping on you and stomping on you, it says right here, He'll get him. God will. Everybody's going to get what they deserve, and let God fight those battles. Don't you try to do it. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Amen.
Right. That's a strong one. Amen. Ever get in your prayer closet and try to pray for somebody that's hurting you?
Yes.
But what did Jesus do? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. The people that were killing him, putting him on the cross, He did what He's instructing us to do. Forgive them. Because if you're a Christian and you have unforgiveness in your heart now, you'll never have peace in your life. No matter how bad it's been. You're going to have to ask God to help you with that. It's available. And hatred is the same way. If you hate somebody right now as you sit, and you're called a Christian, examine yourself. Christians don't hate anyone.
Amen.
Mm. But, preacher, you don't know. Mm. Oh, preacher, but you don't know. No stipulations, no fine prints. Pray for those who persecute you. God will fight your battles for you. If you're loving God and you're seeking Him through His Word, and you seek Him with all your heart, don't you know it pleases Him? The question is, do you want to please Him? Or do you want it your way like David? God will send forth His loving kindness and His truth. Don't you want that? Don't you want truth? Don't you want loving kindness in your life? Remember, the character of God restored David's spiritual stability and his joy. We need that, don't we? Don't we need spiritual stability? Don't we need joy in our life? Joy? What do you mean? You don't know my circumstances. No, it's not about circumstances. Joy is not based on your circumstances. Happiness in your heart is not based on what's going on out there. But some people base their happiness and joy on what goes on around them. They're in for a long road. Lots of disappointments there. I'll be happy if. I'll be joyful if. It's not what it says in Scripture. My joy comes through the Lord, because I've been saved by grace through faith alone and Christ alone. My eternity is secure. I should rest on those things. My heart is steadfast, O God. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes. I will sing praises to His name. My. Lord, help us to understand what it is that you want us to know today about being spiritually stable. And Father, those of us who are listening to this message and are not spiritually stable, they're anxious, they're fearful, they're wavering, whatever the case may be, help them to find peace that only comes through knowing you, even if circumstances are crumbling around them all the time. And Father, those who are listening to this message who do not know you, they're pretending to know you, or they've never come to know you through repentance and faith in your Son, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. And for those of us who know you already, have been saved by grace through faith alone, I pray that this word will help us know your Son better, that we can be more like him, and that we can have that peace that passes all understanding. We love you, Father. We praise you. We honor you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.